This program contains language that is intended for mature
or immature
audiences. Anyone affiliated with this train wreck of a show assumes no responsibility for its content.
Let's go, Mountaineers! Let's go, Mountaineers! Let's go, Mountaineers! Let's go, Mountaineers!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to hide the kids and pop the top on a cold one. Coming to you from the Riverbank Studio in Nitro, West Virginia, please welcome the inebriated cast of Section 304.
Welcome into the Section 304 podcast, Drinking Beers, Talking Ears. Thanks for checking out the show on SoundCloud, iTunes, and at Section304Podcast.com. In the studio today, I'm Anthony Lewis with John Crum, Matt Durrett, Jeremy Yost, fresh off of an ass-whipping, I think it's fair to say that, in Morgantown yesterday, West Virginia, falls to Texas Tech. When's the last time we lost to Texas Tech at home, Crum?
13. Mm. They beat us the first 2 years, and we'd won five straight against them. It's been some tight games, too.
Was Graham Harrell there in 13?
No. It was in 12, it was Daigie's brother. And in 13, I don't remember who their quarterback was.
But
Rat Rogers.
Yep. There it is. Boom.
But West Virginia,
get out of the way,
falls in Morgantown in a game that we all thought was winnable.
Except for
Durrett. Thought it was winnable?
Durrett didn't. Durrett said we would never win another game.
You didn't
of the season.
Say. You didn't
I
say.
Did. Fuck no.
Oh, dude, they lost to fucking Kansas. So?
I thought it was winnable.
No. We made them look like Oklahoma.
Yeah, we did.
We made Duffy look like Joe Montana.
Well, I don't understand.
Elway.
There is. I don't think there's another W on this schedule, boys.
Apparently not.
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
I don't see it. Now,
can we even stay competitive the next three games? I don't even think we're going to be with
second them. Half. We shut them down.
They shut it down.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, they packed it in. They didn't want to hurt our feelings.
It's time.
There's nothing you can say about that other than it was a completely pathetic performance across the board.
There is one thing you can say. It's time to start playing Daigie.
Sure.
You've got to.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to figure out, because obviously, like we said, Kendall's not as bad as what we make him out to be. But it's just not clicking. It's time to find out.
It's not that he's bad. It's that he's immobile and can't.
Right.
Continue a play or can't get out of the pocket to make a play. And when he's under pressure, he tends to throw some bad passes that are errant and unnecessary instead of taking a sack or throwing it out of bounds. What Daigie's going to bring you is what he brought you yesterday. I believe it was on his first drive on a third down where he felt pressure, spun out, rolled left, and got rid of the ball. You don't get a first down, but you also don't get a sack and you don't get a pick.
His release is a lot quicker. The ball's come out a lot faster. I mean, it's just, hey, I'll be the first to say it. The best person on the roster is always the backup quarterback. So there's always, you know, there's going to be something. But I think it's time to figure out with Kendall and Daigie, are these the ones that are going to go forward? Are you going to start a true freshman next year with Garrett Green? Is it going to be that wide open of a job? Or are you going to need to go out this offseason and try to get a JUCO quarterback that can come in and make the change?
I don't think
anybody
immediately ever comes into a program and makes a change. You don't see that very often. It happens, but not very often.
But the change I'm talking about is more of the maturity.
There's not a ton of times. Like, I don't even think Trevor Lawrence started as a true freshman. He took Kelly Bryant's place 3-4 games in for Clemson last year, didn't he?
Yes.
So it's not immediate, I would agree, but there's a chance. I mean, and if Green could get on campus early, and again, this is all speculation. At the same time we want to sit here and dog the quarterbacks, you also had 7 drop passes yesterday.
Right.
So
you ran for 51 yards.
Yeah, so some of it is on him. The first interception's not on him. He throws the ball where only our receiver can catch it. Somehow our receiver bats it up. Texas Tech gets the pick. The second pick is definitely on him, and it was it's a red zone. It's unacceptable. Yesterday we left 21 points on the field, I believe, in our red zone visits with just not scoring. You have to from 20 and in. You have to come away with points. Unacceptable for anything else to happen.
This game was over at the end of the first quarter, man.
Indeed,
the defense was absolutely atrocious.
But you know what? It give them a break is the way I look at it. You've worked your ass off since Missouri to get what? To get nothing on the back end.
I told you guys last week that defense wasn't going to play the way they played at Baylor. You go like that and put
it
all out
there.
They
didn't have to, though.
But no, you don't have to.
They did not. From the first series, they did not look like they wanted to be there.
No, but you're playing – you're three games from the finish line. You got guys that are hurt, playing hurt. Your depth chart's not what it should be. Your secondary's thin. You got – there's a lot of issues going on. It's all excuses, but I can cut them a break for the way that they've performed this year. They've overperformed this year. To see the Stills brothers not in the backfield was unusual. They finished with a total of 5 tackles combined.
I caught it real quick. Did you watch what they were doing? They were forcing someone else to beat them. They were double teaming them.
Yeah.
They double team here and force someone else somewhere to come, and Jones wasn't getting free, and Jefferson wasn't getting free, wasn't getting back there. Our linebackers, I don't know if we're even playing linebackers anymore, if we've got any left on the roster with as many injuries. I mean, it was real easy for Texas Tech's line to shut them down by just saying, look, if they're going to beat us, these two boys aren't. So make the defense do something else. And
I don't think it doesn't matter. Their O-line was better than us. Brown said after the game that they're the second-best O-line, probably behind Oklahoma, and they just road-graded our ass. They did whatever they wanted to do. They ran whenever they wanted to run. I don't know how many straight completions. I kept wanting to call that guy Munchie Legault because he looked like the dude from Cincinnati from a few years ago. But I bet you he had 15 straight completions. And guys were streaking down the field wide.
Dude, Duffy.
He overthrew that tight end early.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys notice that tight end, every time he caught a ball, he would go 3 yards back before he came forward?
Yeah.
Building up steam. Well, you know, in the short of it all, in a statement that Brown made, he basically just said, if the quarterback was our only problem, that would be an easy fix.
Yeah. Right.
Well, he apologized at halftime to the fans. I don't know if you all heard that. I just happened to be in the concourse. When they interview him coming off the field. And, you know, it was awful yesterday. Rock bottom, in my opinion, rivals the 0-1 loss to Temple and the 13 loss to Kansas. So it can only get better from here.
Well, you want to talk about the fans.
Just the way it happened, you mean?
I guess, in my opinion, sort of the perception of the loss. I think people need to understand that that team lost to Kansas.
Right.
I was surprised the stadium was as full as it was yesterday.
56,500.
When I got into town, I left later. I left it probably. I got out of town around 8 or so, a little after 8. I think we got into Morgantown around 10:30-ish, and traffic was backed up getting off the Star City exit. And I was really fucking surprised to see traffic that heavy.
Everybody came in late, according to the radio.
And yeah, I mean, Crum and I got in there at 9:30, and there was, like, nobody.
Yeah, and then when you hit the blue lot had a pretty good turnout in it yesterday. And then just the stadium.
The students showed up.
Yeah.
Not to top deck.
Never no, they did.
Later,
I
yeah.
took a picture of it.
There was a hole. There was, like, a little hole, but I think – I don't know. It was weird. It was almost like that part was sectioned off for the Texas Tech band or something, and they didn't show up or something.
How far does
– Yeah, but that one corner there.
Yeah, the top left corner.
How far does him saying all that shit after the game, I mean, go for you?
Well,
as
you
want to
hear what he said?
Well, here we go. We're not even through the
season.
Well,
No, what I'm saying is, like, you know, I personally like that shit. Like, I'd like – to hear a coach who comes out and he reassures you of this isn't how it's always going to be. I'm not going to allow it to be this. It's almost like hugs with, look, it's broken. I know it's broken. I'm going to fix it. It's not going to be like this. I apologize. Whereas to what we've dealt with over the past, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years was a guy who would place blame entirely on everyone else.
Well,
so
right.
What I'm saying is how far, like, I'm not trying to question it.
Okay.
That's the best hire we could have possibly got at head coach. That guy gets it. He's going to fit in. He's going to make it. We're going to be good again.
Personnel.
Yeah, it's personnel.
Well, and so did you know that he's got less – because people are talking about, you know, Rod's first year. Rod first year, he went 3-9. He did this. Did you know Rod had 88 scholarship players? Did you know Brown's got 62?
Were the scholarship limits different back then? I think Rod's – what happened to Rod in his first year was more about system than anything else.
Well, but I'm just saying Rod's players – I mean, he still had more players. He still had more depth.
Good players.
Where Brown is literally scraping
– there's nothing there,
and playing walk-on.
We're playing
true freshmen. Playing,
exactly.
You know, to say that we've only got 60-some scholarship players playing, you know, on roster right now is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well
– and
I don't – I just
we're terrible. I mean, I'm with you. I this will pay off in the end.
Yeah,
this will, and it's not, will be fine.
But what I was getting at was, like, you know, you're going to have people who want to say, like, Lou thought I was going to go down that road of, like, trying to paint it as this guy, you know, like,
that's
it's
all
time
I've
to
heard
move
last
on.
24 hours.
What I'm saying
people
is,
want to fire him.
I think that
people, get the fuck out of here. If you want to fire him, get the fuck out of here and go root for LSU.
Marshall.
I saw Bama fans want to fire Nick Saban.
Yeah, I saw that.
Get out of here.
Well, Bama fans also poison trees and their kids, Bear Bryant.
True.
But how nice was it to hear him just say, you know, it's 20 degrees out here and y'all showed up for the main trip. Y'all showed up for this. It's cold. And this isn't going unnoticed. I appreciate that. We appreciate that. That's one of those things. I mean, he's taken notice that he's got the backing. Just now he's saying, look, you all are trusting me. I'm trusting in you. Let me show you that I'm going to make the change and I'm going to put something on this field that you are going to be proud of.
As he said, you got so many guys playing now who are going to be back, not for 2 years,
but three years.
And I was talking to somebody yesterday. I guess that transfer portal rule is kind of fucked up. Like, these guys enter it and you don't get to Scully back until their time would have been up. That can hinder you if you're losing a lot of guys to the portal, because you would think it would be one for one. Like, you leave, okay, I get your Scully back. But apparently it's not. So you get a guy like Ricky Johns entered the portal, Allison entered the portal. Allison would have been a senior next year, so you're down that scholarship. Ricky Johns,
Devonta Stewart entered the portal. Yeah, so there's three.
Those are scholarships you're not getting back because these guys chose to leave. I think that's kind of a fucked up rule and could affect you heavily. And it could start to affect a lot of people because, you know, say you go to Bama, you sign, you want to play quarterback, you get down there, it's not going to work out. I mean, at what point is that fair to cost your university or your team scholarships because a guy came, it didn't work out, now he's...
I think that evens out, though. I mean, you lose guys. You lose probably 6 to 10 guys every year, even before this stuff started. Just people quit or move on. I got news for everyone. This is not a one-year deal. This is going to take 2 years to clean up.
Next
we're going to suck next year.
Next year, I think we'll get 4 or 5.
Probably.
This year, I mean, that's what I was talking to Cam yesterday on the ride. I was like, five would have been really, really top-end coaching and getting the players to do something. He's like, 4 is probably what I expected. I said, 5 was tops for me. 6 would have been... 6 would have been a really, really, really good job.
Everything would have had to have gone right.
Yeah,
right.
To get you into a bowl game.
Everything's gone wrong.
But 3 or 4 is what I thought all along.
I think it's kind of like the basketball season last year where everyone got hurt and every possible thing that could have gone wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah.
And you're left with playing guys that probably weren't ready to go like we were last year in basketball, and now here we are. I mean, like Yo said, we're playing walk-ons. That is not a recipe to win.
I bet you
in
it's
major
pa-
college football.
I bet you it's packed out for Oak State, though.
I hope so.
I bet it is.
I mean, you've got Kerry Martin Jr. starting.
Yeah.
He's never played defense before.
He was a quarterback last year.
He was a quarterback in high school. Yeah. Dude, 26 touchdowns.
Well,
maybe he could play quarterback if we need him.
But he's done good.
He's done well.
I mean,
the young guys
I'm not down on anybody. I just think it was disappointing. I think that, but again, everyone's banged up, and sometimes you just don't have it, and you get your ass kicked, and we'll bounce back from this. I don't have any doubts about the future of the program.
You know, but if you would have told me, like, when the game ended, and I was standing there with Cam out in the blue lot waiting on you.
That's your fault.
You weren't waiting on me, buddy.
Well,
we were waiting on someone else.
Yeah,
that's
we were.
That's a different story.
But, you know, when I got the alert from ESPN that Kendall threw for 355 yards. I was like, shit. You know, where did that come? You know, because watching the game, it didn't seem like he had thrown for that many yards.
I was shocked when I saw
Sam James had over 200. I mean, goes to show you, stats don't mean shit.
Yeah.
They really don't. Because we couldn't score in the red zone yesterday. I thought we had a few chances to get back in the game.
Can we please talk about that flea flicker? That bothers me.
Well, you heard what he said.
No,
he responded to it. He said he was fishing. He said, I was just fishing.
That makes sense because it was
awful.
Can
we put someone else in to let him throw the ball? I mean, he threw
it. He's had that in a holster for about the last 3 weeks.
The bad part is
put that one on the shelf for next year.
So he threw it in the quadruple coverage, which is what Kendall's done all year anyway. So it really wasn't any different watching the play, just someone else was throwing the ball. But
he was fishing.
I was like, dude, we're down to trick plays. It's not good. It is not good.
I was like, damn. Flea flicker on the 10.
I'll send out some text messages and see if we got some guys that maybe have like a couple plays left.
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yes. I could draw up a Madden play. Remember when Madden let you create your own plays? And
you guys remember the annexation of Puerto Rico?
Yeah, Little Giants,
right? All right. I was just making sure.
Give it to the fridge.
Well,
yeah. I'll just say, everyone back off and just suck it up.
Back the fuck up.
Back up and winning is not your right.
That was bad yesterday, though.
Yeah, it was bad.
To have 28 plays still in you.
Instantly.
Basically the start of the second quarter.
I don't think the band was back in their seats.
That's very deflating.
You're very deflating.
And had I been able to get the keys to Coop's truck so Shaw could get his cooler, I would have been on the road. My night and day would have been very different from what it ended up being.
I heard we got a new sponsor.
Yeah. Little Vegas showroom and exotic bar.
Did you get your shot this morning?
Dude, have you guys ever done any of that shit sober?
Been in a
strip club?
Just the whole day. Like having to sit and watch a beating like that sober.
I wasn't drunk or anything yesterday.
And then, you know.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah. Like that's not my bag. Like I don't, for beatings like that, I usually just, you know,
break the liquor out.
Yeah. And not being able to do that yesterday was very brutal. But I made it through. It was a very long day for me. Longer day for our defense, though, I think.
Did you meet some new friends?
No.
Ginger?
No.
Red?
Jasmine?
You guys are way off on the names.
Sapphire?
Portia. Welcome to...
Like
Dawn.
Like Yost hasn't been there.
I haven't been to Dirty Vegas. I've been to some strip clubs, but never.
How do you know the name of it?
Because
Dirty Vegas is the nickname of it, motherfucker. The real name of it's Little Vegas.
Said it was in a double wide trailer.
It's not a double wide trailer. It looks like an old convenience store. It's been painted yellow. It says Little Vegas on the side in red paint. They have a door, you ring the buzzer. Three locks unlock, and then the guy pops out. Which one's driving?
Is the old one-arm bandit working the door like he used to do at
like
Club
ever
Paradise?
No, it's not. No,
I remember Club Paradise.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna get ourselves in trouble.
I'd only been to Club P once. I was back when the
Par Twins was the one out on Goshen Road.
Yeah,
it was back when the Par Twins were running hot.
That's then the other one was Hummers.
You had Hummers.
Yeah. See, I lived at Timberline, so I just walked to Hummers.
Yes.
You had Hummers, and then you had...
You know, do you remember they had Dollar Millers, or Dollar Drafts
dollar
until
drafts.
10 o'clock?
Yeah,
every
night.
Of the week? I was there every day, 6 o'clock.
I'm glad I didn't know that.
I remember one time me and my buddy Jason left the Oklahoma ass whooping, and he was like, man, I'm not ready to go home yet. I was like, well, it's like game day traffic. He goes, yeah, we're leaving early. I was like, yeah, game day traffic. So we went over and sat at Hummers for the next three hours.
Yeah, they were...
Yeah.
The guy that owned that place, his name was Scott. He was a really nice guy. Really cool. So,
but everyone go listen to Brown's comments after the game. If I can implore people to do one thing, everyone should hear that.
If
you want to work that into the show, I don't know if we can do that.
Most people who he wanted to hear it probably heard, or most who
everyone
needed to
should
hear
that.
Heard it.
I was going to say, I could read it to you, but it doesn't have the same effect.
And if you're complaining right now.
You have to read it in a different voice,
how many times, you could probably pull comments from this show with me saying this. I've always said that West Virginia has about 40,000 really good fans.
I agree.
And then everybody else just kind of trickles in as when the times get really good or they're just a party.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true. Then you got 10,000 students. It's about 50,000. That's about what we had yesterday.
So I've always said that, and it holds true. You get really good, and all of a sudden everybody – like, it's funny. When everything was going well, you couldn't find a ticket to Texas.
Yesterday, I couldn't give two away yesterday.
He tried.
Yesterday.
I sold those.
Did you?
Yeah, I got 20 for him.
Sunny
so
day.
So can't buy you dinner?
It was a sunny day. No rain. And
bro, it was cold in the morning.
People were giving away tickets left and right yesterday. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the basketball team. They squared off against who the hell did we play?
Akron. Akron Zips.
Jeez. And I went to practice last week, so I've got some pretty funny insight. And
where's my tracksuit, motherfucker?
Bub.
Some gold fucking Kobes you sent me a picture of. I told you size 14.
Those were nice.
Ain't seen them yet.
They're in my truck. Yep. They're 13s and they're in my truck. Damn. All right. When we
I
come back.
Fit a 13 in Kobes.
We'll talk
14.
Hoops.
We'll be right back after this word.
Son of a bitch!
A legal issue involving your family can turn your world upside down. When you need knowledge, service, and dedication, turn to the legal professionals at Hardy Pence PLLC. With more than 100 years of trusted legal advocacy, Hardy Pence will guide you through child custody, divorce, guardianship, and domestic violence support. Working through complex family matters can be challenging, and the law can be confusing. This is why our attorneys are determined to offer honest, trustworthy legal advice to better serve your situation. Call 304-605-2026 for a consultation or visit hardypence.com.
The FloorCam is a revolutionary flooring insulation tool. Its rust-free aluminum lightweight design ensures durability and portability, both integral to quick, flawless flooring installation. The FloorCam has no moving parts, which allows the device to easily withstand years of operation. No competitor tool is as durable, simple, or effective. The FloorCam will help you save time, money, and most importantly, help you achieve a beautiful finished product free of gaps.
It's the start of fall and football here at Tony the Tailor. No one in the Mid-Atlantic does men's clothing like Tony the Tailor. Best selection of quality sportswear from Johnny O and Brax. Huge shoe department featuring Cole Haan, Donald Pliner, and DiBianco. Jackets and suits from Hickey Freeman, Samuelson, and Talia. And of course, free alterations by Master Tailors. Tony the Tailor, 822 Virginia Street, downtown Charleston. 304-833-9403 or online at bestmastertailor.com.
Now, we're 4 points behind. We can push right past these guys, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now, you don't sound very convinced. Come on, don't you guys have any pride?
Yeah.
Don't you have any guts at all?
Yeah.
All right, then. Get out there and get tough.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
These Cougars will be nothing but a furball when we get done with
them.
Yeah. Let's go eat some pussy.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Section 304 podcast, Drinking Beers, Talking Ears on iTunes,
Woo!
SoundCloud, and at Section304podcast.com. All right, before we get into this basketball talk, I want to just take a personal second and acknowledge the loss of a friend of mine from Morgantown. A lot of times, WV fans see a lot of the things that go on television, radio, the video board, and they don't know exactly the people that do these things behind the scenes. Matt, you know, you work on the sidelines and see a lot of the same faces, and you kind of get to know people down there. And one of the guys that was pretty much the guy that pretty much taught me things top to bottom during my time at MSN, when I first got there, he kind of just locked me in an editing room, and we sat and went over stuff. His name was Murphy Tinsley, and Murph passed away unexpectedly yesterday morning. Had gone to the hospital with some complications. He was running camera at the Duquesne game last Friday. Complained to some, had some complaints. and went into the hospital this week. And then as of Thursday, they thought things were going to be better. And things just went south Friday and unexpectedly passed away Friday morning. He was upset that he was going to miss the game yesterday because of his illness. Whenever some people had talked to him, and it would have been his third game that he missed since 1983.
Oh man! Always runs that end zone camera right there where the crowd comes out.
Yeah, if you on the pushcar side of the stadium, if you look down, there's a low end zone camera platform that works for the video board, and he's there week after week after week. Has had other duties throughout his career there at Western University, but it's funny. A lot of people came out yesterday, and of course, when these things happen to people, they express their sympathies on social media. And two things that really stood out to me: one was a lot of people from the university world acknowledged him. Pat McAfee even went onto his professional page and had acknowledged Murph as one of the people that influenced him to go into what he's doing now.
Right.
And he had worked with him as an intern. And also, I can't remember the gentleman's name. He was a backup kicker. Came on and said, you know, expressed his sympathies and said that Murph treated everybody the same. You could have been the starting quarterback or you could have been the second string kicker like I was, he said, and he treated you all the same. So
it shows the impact he had.
I only encountered him a couple times, but he was always a great dude and always remembered everybody by name, called you by name. He was always in the Civic Center when they used to come down basketball-wise to play. He and Dan and Chewy is what I know him as, the dude with the big, the monster sideburns. Yeah. And Murph were always there, and you know I'd always catch up with him. Dan was in the studio with us for WVU News. I don't think Murph was in on that, but I know a couple of the times that I went up to learn about the setup for game day, Scott put me with him.
Yeah, he taught. I mean, here's how he taught me. I went in 99. He still had Avid. Nonlinear editing was brand new at the time. It's the first time I'd ever seen the ability to edit on a computer. And he had the timelines from the 98 highlight film. If you guys remember that, All Access?
Yeah.
That was his brainchild. He took highlight films from, you know, the old standard Jack Fleming voiceover with play-by-play-by-play to a new level with behind-the-scenes type stuff. And that's what that 98 highlight film was. And he was the brain behind that. Did all the lighting for Mountaineer Magazine. Murph and I would go in the studio and light. And funny studio. Him and Woody O'Hara had a really strange comedic relationship. It was but Murph was funny in his own way too. But I could go on for a half hour and talk about Murph. But he'll be missed. I was pretty kind of shook yesterday when I had learned of his passing. Just, you know, Pat White reached out to me yesterday. I talked to Bo Orlando. I mean, guys from the 80s, the mid 80s until recently.
Right.
All loved Murphy. He was just very genuine and around the program all the time. So, and honestly, I mean, let's just face it. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be here doing this show today just because of the impact and the influence he had on me. Just being able to take things and kind of do it yourself and teach yourself how to do things. So, I'll miss my buddy Murph. It won't be on the same on the sidelines. And hopefully they do something. Hopefully the school does something for him nice. I've been told they're going to maybe put together a tribute for him on the video board. But
rightfully so.
Yeah, so I'll have to go up for that. But anyway, basketball tipped off Friday night against Akron. I thought the basketball team looked much improved from the year before. And as we had talked about and as Coach Hahn had been telling us, this team can shoot better. This team shoots.
It does shoot. But one thing I took from it was like we had too many people trying to do too many things individually at times. It appeared to. And, you know, and I said that to a friend of mine while watching the game. And then Huggs in his press conference said the exact same thing was – we've got too many people doing too much stuff that they're not great at and not enough of what they're great at. And, you know, it, the concerning part to me more than anything was we out-rebounded, we ended out-rebounding Akron by one rebound.
That is not a recipe for success.
Oh, only played 12 minutes.
Well, do you know why?
Yes. He did but not here's look the good. Thing, dude.
But he's a
it's
freshman.
Game one. It's game one. They're all trying to show out. Game one, everybody's trying to be the guy who takes over. You guys all played sports. You know how right. that shit is.
Right.
Game one, everybody wants to show out. Everybody wants to have a good game. Everybody wants to make a good impression. Everybody's overhyped. Everybody's nervous. That's what happens. That's why you open. That's why you open with cupcake s scheduling, so you can get that shit out of the way, figure it out, hit conference play, and hit the ground running. I think that this team is loaded with very talented guys. Everybody's going to have their favorites. I don't think you're going to have consistent nights where it's the same guy doing it every night. I think you're going to have games where it's multiple people doing different things, and you're going to see a lot of different contributions from so many different guys. I think he could legitimately go 10 deep this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Without any problem with it. And, you know, the other night, you look at the stat line. We all know that some of us think maybe Chase Harler plays a little too much. The other night he comes in, he gets 9 points, plays pretty good defense. Is he going to do that every game? No. Jordan McCabe plays 9 minutes, gets 2 points, 3 assists, 1 steal, and he's on the pine for the entire second half. Big O plays 12 minutes, doesn't do a whole lot, doesn't show out. He's on the pine with McCabe for the entire second half. But you have Haley, Matthews, Culver. Those guys get their points and their numbers.
Hey, McBride looked good.
Napper plays a good game. Deuce, from all accounts of everything I've heard from people who were there in the crowd, Deuce right now is a top three player on the squad and could very well by the end of the year be top two.
Yeah.
And that top three, I was told, did not include O. It was Culver, Matthews, and Deuce.
Well, Haley led the team in scoring. Haley had a quiet 17.
I thought he had 16, but I could be wrong. I know he was up there. I didn't know that he let – yeah, you're right. He had 16. Culver had 16. Matthews had 13. Deuce had 11. So
– Culver looked good, but the concerning point to me was when Hugg said, you know, he's a little too lazy, which says that he took too many plays off, which, I mean, again – I said we only out rebounded them by one, you know. But look at it, it was. I'm not worried about it, and I'm not worried about Derek Culver, because Culver, after he came back last year from his suspension, it took him a couple games, and then all of a sudden, it was like a switch flipped, and it was like game on. Here we go.
Do you ever think that he's one of those guys who plays to the level of the competition that's
Absolutely.
In front of him?
Absolutely, I think he definitely is.
He should have had 25 points. He was 4 for 14, and he missed shots that he should have made. I think he was rushing. He's a little too hyped up, like you said.
Free throws. Did you notice that, though?
He made his free throws, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're going to foul him, if he does this, you're going to pay for it. Huggins said after the game, when we turned it around, 4 or 5 years ago, that he had 6 guys on the perimeter that he could play.
Yeah.
You had Tariq, Jay Sean, Carter, Dax, and Staten and Brown. We have 6 guys on the perimeter we can play. And I'm with you. I mean, your buddy McCabe is going to be fine.
Point guard.
Hey, what was the team total on free throws? We were like 31 for 42.
Shot 77%.
I mean, when's the last time? Normally, we haven't been shooting free throws good. So it goes back to the adage of this team has good shooters. Talking about Big O again, one thing that he's going to have to learn that you can see is a hindrance on him, and if him and Culver are going to be playing at the same time, is O's going to have to learn how to get out and guard. He's going to have to learn how to come out on that guy over in the corner a little bit more than being worried, sitting back and being worried about, you know, driving in and everything else going on.
He took 2 jump shots in the first half, and I think when Huggins went on his post game, I don't know if you want to call it a rant about guys not doing what they're supposed to do or doing what you're not capable of doing. I think that's who that was directed
at. I said you got some guys coming in that want to be jump shooters. Jordan was brought here to pass the ball. He didn't pass the ball, so he sat.
Yeah.
I really like Taz Sherman. I think he's going to be really good.
Taz, I'm telling you, Taz can create his own shot, and Taz is so much like Jayshon and Tariq in that sense, and I don't think it's a situation of Taz not wanting to start, but I think Taz is going to be the guy who brings that second wave at you and gives you the scoring you need with that second group. You get a guy like Taz in there, and then, you know, you put a Chase or a Napper or somebody around him, that's fine. Taz can create his own thing. I heard a lot of people talking about Taz, but the guy who seemed to steal most of the thoughts of the night was your boy Deuce.
He's not my boy. He's our boy.
Everybody says.
He's outstanding. He had four steals, had an unbelievable block, caused havoc everywhere.
Hugs took a point to say him specifically about what he had did. You know, I mean, everyone else, he kind of tiptoed around, not saying names, but – when it came to McBride, he addressed McBride, you know, straight up on this is all intents and purposes that what we thought we were going to get out of this kid. This
I heard
is
he
what
goes
we
90
expected.
Feet.
So I went up Monday. I went up and spent the day with Billy Hahn Monday. Billy took me to the facility, went set in basketball practice for an A practice. Listen.
3 hours, ain't it?
3 hours.
Yeah.
And there's no water breaks. They don't blow a whistle where they come off the court. There's none of that shit.
So you're busting your ass for 3 hours.
Straight. There's a little slip. We were sitting right on the scores table, and the GAs come around, and they give you a piece of paper, and it shows you minute by minute what's going to happen at practice. And it doesn't say break anywhere in that. The treadmill was going in full effect.
Who spent the most time on it?
Logan Rout was over there several times, but they all had their fair share of trips over there. My observations from this team: one, they shoot better. That's obvious. Two, one of the things that you don't see on the court is, and you will see it, is this team is coachable. And what I mean by that is when the coaches – all right, so we all know that Hugs is not easy to play for, right?
Right.
Everybody knows that. That's public knowledge. Not that he's an asshole, but he's a tough coach.
He's demanding.
He's demanding, and he lets you hear about it in practice. It was never head down, never a comment back. It was always, yes, coach. Even when because they don't stop practice and say, Yost, you have to go run on the treadmill. Here's what you do. As soon as you fuck something up, Yost, treadmill. It happens so fast, sometimes I missed it. I'm like, where's he going? He yelled out treadmill. And it was over little things. The lazy plays like Culver does. Culver had to go a few times because it's things like boxing out, loafing, not getting back in position. It's little things that they send you to the treadmill for. Not missing shots, not things like that. So it's the small things that you do in practice that make you a better basketball player. And that's what I took away from practice the other day.
Well, with you saying coach – you know, they're coachable, and that's lost nowadays with these kids, you know. And it seems like, I mean, I've coached high school baseball, I've coached middle school baseball, and anymore it seems like the kids are starting to lose this coachability at the middle
school
level.
You don't want to go to Morgantown and play.
Dude, kids today are soft, entitled, pampered. Their parents do not allow coaches to come down on them. You're not allowed to say a cross word to them. You can't be mean to them. You can't call them a name or tell them they're playing like a, you know. It's very hard to find kids who play. There's a very specific type of player who's going to respond to Bob Huggins and not lock up, crawl into a shell, and go cry. It's very hard to find these days because kids today, it's a totally different world that we're living in. Kids today are so sheltered. Dude, I'm telling you.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think
kids want to be pushed.
Good luck.
Not all of them,
good
but
players,
some of them
good
do.
Players want to be pushed.
But
the ones that don't want to be pushed are the ones that come and go and you never hear from again.
Well, yeah. And that's, I mean, that's where I was going to get. The being pushed is one thing, but these kids know it all. And you can see it with last year's team, with the way Huggs talked about that, saying you can't coach these kids. They know it all. They don't want to listen to you.
Well, a lot
of them. So now to hear Lou saying that, you know, you're getting your ass chewed for something, and it's yes, coach. You know, it's that's a difference. One, it's respect, which is lost. But two, the fact that they know that Bob Huggins knows what he's talking about. They know that this coaching staff knows what they're talking about. You listen to me. We've been successful, so let's do this.
A lot of them have been told that they're so good and they're the best for so long from AAU, you know, whether it's being picked up to play on an AAU team that's loaded with talent, and
it's usually the case.
You're one of the guns on that AAU team that's got eight other kids going D1, so you're all that good and you're all that cocky, and nobody's going to tell you shit because you've done it your way for this long and it worked. It got me here. You bought me in because this is what I did and you liked it then, so why would I change it now? A lot of them just have a mentality that they've been told you're the best for so long. Why would I change it? Why would I listen to you and change it when I've done it this way my whole life and it got me here? You wanted me here. You saw how I played. What'd you bring me in for?
Well, they tell these kids straight up. And one of the things that impressed me I was sitting there. I was eating lunch. We were in the facility eating lunch. And
What did you eat?
Olivera.
So good.
It was good. So I we just, were.
Oh, sorry.
One of the things that impressed me was a handful of the guys that came over. They came over to speak with Han. They also would address me, and they didn't know who the hell I was. I mean, they stuck their hand out, introduced themselves. That was good to see, because a lot of times these kids just assume everybody in the building is there to see them, and they don't know who.
This notion that Huggins is the only tough coach is just ridiculous to me.
No,
did you watch the John Calipari thing?
That's not what I meant.
Yeah,
though,
but that's kind of the perception that Huggins is too hard on him. Bullshit.
It's the way ESPN and those media.
I think all coaches are hard on players in different ways. I think the way he does it is the way coaches who you and I played for back in our day probably handled things. I think other coaches now are hard on you, but they find a different way to where it's not as in your face being down on you than what he is. That's what I'm saying. I understand that all coaches are going to get their point across and do their thing, but what I'm saying is kids today tend to not respond to someone coming at them and just yelling and screaming and you know, get your shit and hit the brick. A lot of them, I just think kids today are soft, essentially.
And I would say people older than us said the same thing about us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a fucking cliche.
Well, listen, West Virginia takes on Pittsburgh this weekend. They got a whole nother week to go back and look at film. They head to the Peterson Event Center. Is it still called the Pete?
I don't know, but I saw. Did you guys see who lit Pitt up the other day?
Yeah, Nichols State.
Yeah.
Ooh, they're on our schedule.
Did you see who led the charge?
Who?
D'Angelo Hunter, former Mountaineer.
Did he really?
Dropped 17 on him. The guys had it.
D'Angelo Hunter, he transferred.
What?
Three.
Who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah, who? I don't even remember.
D'Angelo Hunter is a great scorer who came here, never really could find his fit in our offense.
Was that the guy whose dad ran his mouth on social media?
I don't imagine so, no.
Yeah, I don't remember who that was.
No, that was last that was
2 years ago.
No, yeah. Hunter was here and just kind of never found his spot.
That's
and
bad, because I remember everybody.
Looked him up, you'd remember him. He was hurt a lot. Oh. Like I was saying, he transferred to Nichols. He didn't play at all last year because he had some injuries. So he's battled back, and he got to play the other night against Pitt, and he dropped 17 on Pitt.
Pitt lost, by the way.
Yeah.
Nichols State.
75-70.
Ooh.
They just beat Florida State the night before.
I heard Boeheim complaining. Why would the ACC make their schools open up, except for one? I'm sure everyone knows who that was. They had to open their season with a conference game. That is awful.
Fuck the ACC. What do I care? They're too smart for us, remember?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, they're
geniuses.
Not that smart.
Fucking Jim. Fuck Jim Boeheim, too. Fuck Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Jim
that
Boeheim.
Whole ACC. Fucking gross. I want to get in the SEC and really fucking dog some people out in basketball.
And go 7-4 every year in football? Well, no thanks. I'd like to be in that coastal division. We might actually win more than 3 games.
We'd be a lot of traveling road games, too.
Yes.
Get back to the Dome. Oof. I've had some Thunderdome moments in that place.
So the good thing is they got a week this week to kind of get things back in place. They've got 2 games under their belt where they can show these kids what they're doing. They've got the Duquesne film. They've also have the Akron film.
They have to get better on defense. Their defensive effort in the second half was awful.
Especially our guard defense.
Oh, my God. Gave up 51 points. First half, we're up 14. It's like, all right, this is looking pretty good.
The good thing is when they want to score, they can score.
Well, trust me, you need defense. Defense wins championships.
We press. I didn't get to watch. I was assistant building.
We the press on a couple
a little
times.
Bit.
Not
a
like we used to. You guys see Jay Sean's G League?
No.
Maine Red Claws? Jay Sean's.
Not to be confused with the White Claws.
Correct. Those only go down on Saturdays. No laws when drinking the claws, baby.
All right, let's take a quick break when we come back.
Apparently no laws in Little Vegas either.
Dirty Vegas.
Sorry.
Sounds like it. All right, when we come back, we'll give our predictions for next week. Diddy will hand out a beer of the week. Might be a water of the week, the way they played. Was there anything bright? We'll find out after this.
We'll be right back after this word.
Son of a bitch!
You want to sit in your cubicle for an hour and pretend to be happy? Come on! Swivel your sad excuse for a swivel chair over to B-Dubs and enjoy a real happy hour. Get deals like $2 Bud Light and Coors Light drafts, $3 select premium shots, $5 loaded nachos, and all the games you can watch. So get here and get happy. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
At participating locations, dine-in only. Hours of availability may vary by location. Other limitations may apply where required by law. Must be 21 or older. Void where prohibited.
When your heating and cooling system needs service, turn to Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning. They've been delivering quality service in West Virginia since 1980. No matter the make or model, Francisco Heating and Cooling can make sure your unit is back in service in no time. And their work is guaranteed. Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning is fully licensed and insured and is a certified Train dealer. And remember, it's hard to stop a train. Find them on Facebook or call 304-542-1895. Catch the Mountaineers in comfort with Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning.
Wally's and Wimpy's Sports Digest, a West Virginia legend for 3 decades, is back. Get the scores, the schedules, special features. Wally's and Wimpy's has everything you need to get ready for the big game. High school, college, and pro sports. It's all in there. The Mountaineers, the Thundering Herd, every NCAA Division I conference, the Mountain East Conference, the National Football League, we've got it. Go to WallyWimpySports.com to find out where you can pick it up and how you can get Wally's and Wimpy's delivered straight to your inbox. Wally's and Wimpy's Sports Digest, back and better than ever.
Okay, Takashi, what do you got?
Well, I think I have a frush.
What the fuck is a frush?
A frush.
Oh, well, see, I got 2 sevens, and 2 sevens beats a frush.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome back to the Section 304 Podcast, Drinking Beers, Talking Ears. Thanks for checking out the show this week. We appreciate it. Hey, so we talked a little bit about Texas Tech. Next week we play
K-State at 3:30.
3:30.
They lost Texas last night by field goal.
Yeah, Dicker the kicker got them there at the end. I watched a little bit of that. Watched the LSU-Alabama game.
Roll Tide.
Man, they got their ass whipped. I mean, they made a little run there at the end, but LSU.
Man, if it wasn't for the refs and shit, you know Bama would have won. They got cheated. They're still going to be in the fucking playoffs. It don't matter.
Well, no. Because, no.
Wrong.
No.
They're out. If
you know who else is out?
Penn State.
State Penn. The Shower Nora. Boys. The Shower Boys.
You guys say
State.
Bama's out, but they'll find a way.
They're already apologizing for them.
They'll be number 4.
I don't think they will.
LSU will get number 2.
They don't have any wins is the problem.
Doesn't matter. They'll win the SEC.
No, yeah,
they can't.
They can't.
LSU has to lose twice for them to play in the SEC title game.
They'll find a way.
Nah.
They'll rematch it.
Wrong.
Due to the East Division of the SEC being such dog shit and Jake Fromm not being Tua Tagovailoa, we've decided that Nick Saban and company will match LSU in the SEC championship game.
They haven't even played anybody this year.
They said they need, for Alabama to get in, they need a two-loss Pac-12 team.
Right.
And I think a two-loss Big 12 team.
So they already worked this out.
They're trying to,
but
it'll all happen on that Saturday before it goes to the fucking committees.
They'll try. But West Virginia plays K-State this week.
3:30 kick.
Yeah, I'm not real sure. I don't think anybody's feeling real confident this week about West Virginia. At this point, it's almost like you don't want to get anybody fucking fucked up before and keep them out for
just
next
go
season.
Play hard.
Yeah,
do better than you did on Saturday.
Right. I think now is when you fully. I mean, we didn't do it yesterday. Now you fully take advantage of the last three games.
Play Deggy.
You played Deggy. You put Mathis in a whole lot more than what you did. You just start. You know, even on the line. These freshmen that they said had looked very good in spring and very good this fall, you throw them in there, let them get the reps, take full advantage of this rule. So you've got
make real these life. Last three games your bowl practice,
right? You've got real life video to go back and watch.
If you're actually competing and trying to win, if the game's out of hand, maybe. But if you're trying to win and you're in the red zone, I don't see you taking Letty Brown out to put in Math.
Maybe not run a flea flicker either. Maybe put that one on the shelf.
Yeah, that's.
But I think I already said that.
I want a double reverse.
That's coming.
Double reverse pass. James to Esdale to fucking Ollie Jennings, who then laterals it to Winston Wright, and we score.
I want
double
the fumble.
Reverse oopty ooped.
Yeah, mm-hmm. An oopty oop.
Well, so no wins from anybody here? No.
I told you guys for the last like two or three weeks that we weren't going to win another game.
We respond to how bad Saturday was?
The offense may have a glimmer of hope with a quarterback who is mobile. That may give you a look at possibly some RPO, some run-pass options, roll the pocket a little bit.
I think you see our defense fired back up again.
Maybe run just some option plays to Letty and or Kennedy with Daigie. The defense, we'll see. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to trash those guys. They've done it, and they've bent but not broke for a good portion of the year.
Yeah, but I think you'll get back to the meet me there.
They're playing a lot of young guys. It is what it is. If you expected to go bowling this season, you're an idiot. It's basketball season. Point God will rebound this week.
I'm with you on that. I think he's going to have a big game against Pitt.
He's going to have a big game against Pitt. Deuce is going to get some playing time. O and Culver are going to be one of the best big man duos in the Big 12. Emmett Matthews will become a star. We're going to win like 23 games.
Hey, we already talked about basketball. We're trying to talk about K-State.
Well, K-State, we're going to lose. What else would you like to say?
Well,
how else would you like to spin it? Would you rather talk about negative shit and talk about K-State and how they may blow us up, or would you rather me talk about beating Pitt?
Okay, I'm like, yeah, K-State is third on my list this next weekend.
That's horrible.
Obviously, the Pitt game's huge. And
huge.
West Virginia State is playing for a conference championship on Saturday. Yeah.
Maybe the fire Neil Brown crowd will say hire John.
You want
Pennington.
In?
You got a jackets jumpsuit? I can't go Saturday.
No, you can't go?
I'll be in Pittsburgh.
I can get you into the coach's suite, which is just their offices.
Thank you.
You can meet all of Pennington's kids.
I'm okay with that.
Hey, no, they got a big one, man.
Those boys are hell on wheels.
Yeah, they got a big one. This would be huge for the program down there.
Then maybe they have to re-sign him.
Well,
I'm here.
Maybe John gets him an
Escalade.
Anyway.
Maybe.
You know?
No, John would get like a Toyota minivan.
He would, yeah.
I'm hearing they're going to.
Like, you guys see my new
van? They have to re-sign him.
Oh, yeah. He's got that thing going in the right direction. But year three winning a conference title at
State.
Right,
that'd be huge.
State was a doormat for so long. It'd be huge.
That would be big.
Let's beat Pitt. Fuck Pitt. Eat shit, Pitt. Beat the hell out of Pitt.
Rat Rogers.
Any beers of the week?
I'll give mine to Daigie for coming in and just looking
giving me something different to look at.
The band did a nice rendition of the Jackson 5 Dancing Machine at halftime.
Did they?
That and my beer of the week would either go to that or the guy they recognized, the Congressional Medal of Honor winner from Vietnam. As far as the football team's concerned, no.
Did you see Freddie Smalls out there?
Yeah, old Boom Boom.
Give him a beer.
I was going to say.
And that other guy who's a active military. I didn't recognize him.
I don't know if he's a former player.
He was a former player, but he might have played a long time.
Clown Shoes of the Week goes to Javonte Haskins for snaking my man Ali's second collegiate touchdown because he didn't know what route to run. It looked as if he was playing center field and did not see the right fielder coming over and call the goddamn ball.
So new category for the end of the Clown Shoes of the Week.
Yeah.
Hey, Crumb, so how I told you I'm going up to Pittsburgh. Did you know there's a direct flight from Pittsburgh to Ireland?
No.
It's only a 6-hour flight, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to Ireland?
I don't know. Last time me and Sheffy got together, we jumped a flight, flew to Puerto Rico, so.
Are you off?
Yeah, I'm off this weekend. I'm going up meeting with Chef and Scott Fleming in Pittsburgh for the weekend. And
Scott Fleming. I haven't seen that guy for a while.
It's, I was telling
Crumb. Could get interesting.
It could.
Are you going to the game?
Well, we had talked about that. I don't know. We may run over there. We should.
It's out in Oakland, right?
Take a sign that says
Point it's God. Where the football Point stadium God. Used to be.
Has McCabe's photo.
That's right.
But I was telling
him. Have you guys – actually, I'll say this off the microphone. I'm not going to say this on here.
Since when – oh, it's got to be good. If
no, it's not, but I'm not going to say it on here. It's,
okay. Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
Well, All right. Back up 4 inches to the microphone and say it. Nobody can fucking hear you.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Right. So losses all around.
Losses all around. I don't see West Virginia winning next week. I was actually hoping this team could get to 6 wins. I would have liked to have seen them play in a bowl game. But, you know, when you really, really examine and look at the numbers, they're just playing freshmen, walk-ons. It's bad right now.
It's hard, to win. It's hard to win with that schedule.
There's no run lineup.
Everybody should go to the Oklahoma State game and support these guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
if nothing else, go get a beer load on. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
If you would have told me that 56 – almost 5,700 people would have been there yesterday.
57,000. Don't fucking shortchange them.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, I'm not good
with
numbers.
I think you were at Dirty Vegas last night.
Yeah. I'm not good with numbers.
5,700,
so.
Weird to fuck.
So, if you would have told me there would have been 57,000 people there yesterday, I would have bet you $100 that that wouldn't have happened. And so I'd like to see, I mean, end the season with support, give these kids something going into, and get ready for basketball season.
Yeah. Tube season in full effect Friday night at the event, the Peterson Event Center. We have to beat Pitt.
Hate those guys.
Can't lose to Pitt.
If nothing else, man, go to the Oak State game in a week, and then 3433 Freedom Road in Fairmont. It's a nice little quaint place, little Vegas. Go to the Oak State game and then go in there and have you some fun. 8 to 3:30 every Saturday. That's what they're open. They do have a full liquor license and a service bar, and the hand lotion is amazing.
What's the date? What's the date on that?
Hepatitis.
What's the date on OK State?
The 23rd. 2 weeks.
The 23rd?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there's also a home basketball game that Friday night.
Yes.
Against Boston U. So.
Well.
Pack it up, pack it in.
Let me begin.
All right. So that's it for us. We're going to dip out of here, but thanks for checking out the Section 304 podcast. We'll see you next week.